John's just getting himself sorted out with some headphones. Some more excuses why people have not got their tax returns in. I had a run-in with a cow, said a Midlands farmer. And after seeing a volcanic eruption on the news, I couldn't concentrate on anything else, said a London woman. There's some of the other excuses. They're not the latest ones. We've lost John on the floor at the moment. He's gone crawling underneath to try and find somewhere to put in his headphones, and he's just about coming up at the other side. Can you hear us, John? Yes, thumbs up from John. Here he goes.
Well, that was a different start to the day, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it? Really, it just completely disappeared out of my eye line.
That might be it. Good morning.
Good morning to you, John. It's nice to see you. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Some people might want to say, "I want to get the tax man to completely disappear out of my life." Well, one way of doing it, of course, is to keep those obligations going. It's something we did last year with John. It soon comes around again.
And it's amazing how quickly it comes around, isn't
yes.
it?
12 months, would you believe?
I know. Where does time go?
But I think it's nice to see you anyway. But you are here, of course, to sort of not pay heed on people, but just guide them along this morning. So that's what it's all about. Firstly, we'll go to the old question. Well, who has to do a tax return? I suppose most people, by now, if they had to do one for the last tax year, which is when this would affect, that's the period from 2015 into 2016, they would have had a notification.
That's correct. Must always be remembered that self-assessment only covers approximately a third of the current working population. Give or take a million, there's 30 million people working, approximately 20 million of them don't have to worry about self-assessment. They're in a pay-as-you-earn job, they get paid a salary, tax on national insurance is automatically deducted, everything's done and dusted. But if you're self-employed, you don't have an employer who's actually doing that for you, you've got to keep your own records. So the self-employed are covered by self-assessment. Also, company directors, because they're generally responsible for their own pay and things like that, they get brought under self-assessment. And finally, the third group of people might be people who own property. They own a house that they rent out or a room in their house, like a landlord kind of thing. So they will have a self-assessment form to do. And when they do their forms, they will have different information to put on it relevant to their personal circumstances.
So it's quite often, John, it's not just your income, because that's obviously taxed for most of us above a certain threshold. At the moment, I think it's 11,000 this year, 11,500 next year. Mm-hmm. So if you're earning more than that, but if you have got two or three jobs, that can make things more complicated, and that could be a reason why you need to do a tax return.
It can happen, and I guess it's happening more and more for people when they retire from one job. They might end up getting a company pension, they might end up getting a state pension, and decide to do another part-time job as well. And there are lots more pensioners now who carry on working past pension age. So all of a sudden, that pension has got three sources of income coming in. Now, tax can be deducted from a company pension. Tax can be deducted from pay-as-you-earn salary. But a state pension can never have tax deducted from it. It's always paid gross without any deductions. We may be able to adjust a person's tax code to collect the tax, but that then gets a bit fiddly because you're always making adjustments to it. So very often what we do in those situations, we would then put that person into self-assessment. So at the end of the year, they add up all their income to one total figure. Tax is calculated on the one total figure, take off what's already been paid. So yes, very often people are brought into self-assessment because their circumstances are slightly, not complicated, but they have more than one or two, three sources of income coming in.
Could be offshore investments where they're getting
that
incomes.
That would definitely get people
into the wrong net, because you'd be paying taxes on that. But it would get you into the system of having to do a self-assessment tax return. Dividends, of course. Maybe
dividends, it all depends on circumstances, because dividends is based upon shareholding, and very often the tax is already accounted for in dividends, because you get it net of tax. So that can bring a person into self-assessment, but it just all depends on the other circumstances as well.
And landlords with properties or property to rent out, and the income's coming from that rental?
Yes, that would definitely bring someone into self-assessment, because then we would have no way of knowing how much money or profit they've made from it. So the only way is to send them a set or to put them in self-assessment so they do a self-assessment tax return.
So after April the 5th into the new tax year, April the 6th and onwards last year, you as a taxpayer who might have been sent the demand for you to fill in a self-assessment tax return may have done that by now. That's fine. There's a paper deadline and an electronic deadline to get these things in.
That's correct. And that's why I like to come out now, because the paper deadline has already passed, 31st of October. And there's lots of people who have done their paper return, got it in before October, not a problem at all. There's lots of people who have already done their internet return, got it into us, not a problem at all. But there's still a few people out there who haven't yet done their tax return. And that's why I like to come out now to remind people, let's think about doing it now. Now, I know people always come up with this 31st of January deadline. And yes, that is a deadline for doing your self-assessment tax return. But I say to people, don't leave it until the 31st of January, because then you're running into problems. What happens if you're not well on that day? What happens if your computer has an issue or your provider has an issue, or you get to 31st of January and realise some of your documents are missing? So you're going to run into problems. So I say to people, excuse me, think about doing it. Well, I say to people, think about doing it in June, July, August. excuse me, in September. But I say to people now, if you haven't done it now, think about doing it today. Don't leave it until the 31st of January.
Yeah, because otherwise there's an awful lot of hunting around, panic stricken into drawers, bureaus, sideboards, everything around in the dining. Where did I put it? In the dining room? No, it must be upstairs in the bedroom or something like that. So you need to gather paper documents. And those paper documents can be those that have come in from your bank, building society, other financial institutions where you may have some savings, of course.
Yeah, and you must be remembered that, again, you made a correct comment early on. We're talking about the tax year, which ended on the 5th of April 2016. So that tax year now is 9-10 months old. So it's not as if the tax year ends and people have to do their tax return straight away. There's quite a long time to do it. And also, if you're running a business like you're self-employed, you've got all your records that you've got anyway. Records of your jobs you've done, your diaries, money you've been paid, expenses paying out. You might have insurance, you might have equipment, you might have travel that you've done. All of those is part and parcel of your business. And when you do that, you have to keep records of what you're doing. And all a self-assessment is a summary of what your records show for your business. So you haven't got to create any more records than what you would already do anyway.
And if you do a paper return, it's all go to box 16, page 32, subsection 4, para A, sub II or whatever, the paper version, I have to say, in the early days, of course, that's how we all did it.
Everyone did it by paper.
Perhaps 30 sheets, something like that, although you didn't have to fill in all 30 because you started at the front and then it said, well, now go to page 5 because you're not actually a huge boat owner with great income coming in from offshore.
But yes, you're right. You did end up going backwards and forwards. Have I done this box? Should I do that box? What about these three pages? And the first year we introduced the internet, 3,000 people did it over the internet.
Only really, John? Yeah. Gosh.
That was the first year we introduced it, 3,000 people over the internet. And you're right, the paper return was a bit complicated.
Even the tax man admits it.
I don't deny that. But the internet return is fantastic because it's geared towards you. It's interactive. It asks you at the start, are you self-employed? Are you an employee? Do you own property and land? Do you have foreign income, as you said? And all of those things, you either tick yes or no or whatever. And when you go to next, if you're only income is self-employment, and that's all you've got, the only page that appears on screen is the self-employed page. The page for the employees and all that just doesn't appear. There are some pages that are relevant to everybody. For example, if you have a bank account and you've got interest on a bank account, it will ask everybody for that question, yes or no. But nowadays, it is really, really quick and easy. You just fill in the information relevant to you. There are built-in parameters, whereas although it won't check the figures you're putting in, it will check you're putting it in the right boxes. And if you put something in a box which actually the system thinks well, no, that's not the right box for you. You can't go past that page. A big red triangle comes up. Please check this. We think it's in the wrong box, etc. You say, oh, yeah, wrong box, change it. So it actually helps cut down all the mistakes that when people used to do paper returns, we would be sending a few of them back because it just didn't make sense. Whereas now, it stops that happening.
Yes. Quality checks, if you like.
It is. Clean data, as we call it. Now, okay. It can't check the figures you're putting in, because if your turnover is, I don't know, say 10,000, and you accidentally put 100,000 down, we're not going to know that, because it's not going to check your figures, but it will check that you're putting it in the correct box for your circumstances.
So how can you get, I mean, somebody might make a mistake, 10,000 perhaps they were supposed to put down, let's keep it nice and clean and round figures, but added an extra naught in there. They didn't, you know, didn't mean to deceive or you know, divert from the actual facts, but just made a mistake. Yeah. What happens then, John?
Well, I mean,
how do you pick it up at your
end? We're all human and make mistakes, but what happens is, before you send it to us, a calculation comes on screen. So let's say, in exactly that scenario, your self-employment is 10,000, so you know that you're below your level. And before you submit it to us, it says, view your calculation. And all of a sudden it says 100,000, so you've got to give us 15, 20,000 tax or whatever. That person's going to think,
that's not right.
That's not right, is it? So they get the chance of going back. Also, let's say it wasn't picked up. A person would be sent a letter showing you owe us this amount of money. And then a person could go, well, that's not right, because I've obviously made a mistake. People can amend their tax returns. That is not an issue at all. And we have people who very often do omit something out or do something wrong. There is always a facility to do an amendment, and that can be done online as well now. There are certain time limits in that, because obviously people otherwise would be going back 5 or 6 years. But generally, if within 10 months of doing it, if you realise you've made a mistake, contact us and we will then guide you through how you can correct it.
And the other great thing about doing it electronically, let's say you get as far as September, if you have to get in by the end of January, as we now know. But at that point, you've got all the various items of interest, if you're a saver, not that any of us get very much interest at the moment, but all the banks and building societies have sent you written statements in the post, so you've managed to sort of put them into a nice little summary, but you think, I want to stop there and carry on with it. The great thing is you can save it to where you've got up to, log out of the system, and then maybe come back in October, November, December, whatever.
100% correct. You can, it automatically saves it. When you go from page to page, it automatically saves it. So you're watching a football match or something, and, you know, half time you do a little bit, watch the second half, do a little bit at the end, and it gradually saves it for you. And when you go back in, it tells you what you're up to, and along the top, there's a scroll bar that tells you what percentage you've already done as well. So every time you do another page or another section, it goes up a higher percentage until you get right to the end and it says, right, 90%. And normally the last thing after 90% is a submission.
And what you're looking for on your screen, John, is a nice series of green ticks by each item that you will have been asked to fill in.
Yeah, tells you what you've done, everything's okay, you send it off, and we then give you an acknowledgement. And this is where I think it's interesting, because if you do your self-assessment early, you get your acknowledgement very, very quickly. If you leave it until, 31st of January, you're running a risk, because there's also 500,000 other people going onto the same website to do the same form. So you get to the end, you press submit, and you're waiting for your acknowledgement, and you're waiting for your acknowledgement, and you're waiting for your acknowledgement, because the system has to cope with 500,000 taxpayers on the same day. So let's say it all just slows up a little bit, because any website would struggle dealing with 500,000 forms coming in on the same day. So this is why I say to people, don't leave it until the 31st, because it will slow everything up. Do it now. Get rid of it.
And over 90% of us do it that way, electronically. We've got that little bit of extra time from the end of October, now until the end of January. But we really need to get registered if you have not previously done a tax return online. Maybe you haven't had to do one up until now. You think, okay, I've got the electronic option. You need to register for the government gateway.
That's correct. If you've done it online for a number of years, you will have an ID and a password, and that's what you need to resubmit it every year. But when you do it for the first time, there is a registration, an active activation process. And this takes between 7 to 10 days. We like to speed things up at this time of the year to give people more time. But we send you what's called an activation code through the post. Now, we only do that once. That's a security measure to make sure that you've got it. You use that number once, you rip it up and chuck it away because you don't need it anymore. Then you've got your ID and password. So it could be somebody who's self-employed for the first time or has always done it by paper and has now decided to do it by internet. You have to do that registration process.
Effectively, you have then got your always online account forever.
Yes.
And a day.
Yeah.
For whenever you need it. And during the year, of course, you can log in pretty much any time, even on Christmas Day, as you've often famously told me, that many people fill in their tax return on Christmas Day or Boxing Day. It's obviously that there's really ever any good on the television these days at that time of year.
John. You register for what's called a personal tax account. And actually, this goes for any taxpayer in the country. Even if you're in a pay-as-you-earn job and you're not doing self-assessment, you can still register for my personal tax account. And you can go in and out of that and send us emails on your tax code, send us queries and all things like that. But going back to the Christmas Day, I think that's a brilliant day to do it.
Do you? What does your wife think about that?
I'm not saying I did mine on Christmas Day.
Oh, right.
I did mine last summer.
Yes.
But basically, on Christmas Day, we haven't had the figures for this year, but there's generally about, 1,500, those sort of figures that do it. And they get their acknowledgement within about 2.5 seconds because it's so quick.
And you get like a little correlation mark with it's a whole string of sort of hexadecimal numbers that you're supposed to save somewhere. You certainly can't remember them. They go on for row after row and line after line.
But it's quite a long number.
It is.
It's because there is now so many pieces of correspondence that we get through the post. Employers do their pay-as-you-earn returns through the post. Employers do their expenses and benefits. Corporation tax. So much of our stuff is now over the internet that we have to give everything a unique correlation number relating to that individual return.
So that's your kind of little bit of proof. So when the taxman said you didn't do a tax return, you can say, oh, yes,
it.
I did. So
you've
that,
got it.
Always remember to fold that away somewhere.
That's correct.
A sort of taxman or something in your inbox.
That's
so you
correct.
Can always get at that if you need it.
Always save that reference number.
John, that's about all we have time for this time. Next time you come back, well, a quick one then from you.
The only thing I want to leave people with is a telephone number because we are conscious that we want to help people get things right. We have a dedicated helpline which is deals with self-assessment only. That's 0300 200 3310. 0300 200 3310. That's open from 8 in the morning till 8 at night, Monday to Fridays. And it's also open 8 till 4 p.m. on Saturdays. And we are keen to say to people, if you're not sure about something, give them a call. We would rather you contact us. Give us a call, have a word, we can talk you through the process, give you the correct information and advice, rather than, you know, leave you on your own, stumble through it, you miss the deadline, you get a penalty, which we don't want. We don't want to charge people penalties. Give us a call, we can help you.
I've got that number just furiously scrolled down as well on the piece of paper here, John. So
excellent.
I'll give listeners that if they didn't have a chance to write down the opening hours and that number. And of course, gov.uk is a huge resource as well.
Gov.uk, even if you just type in self-assessment, that's all you need to type in on gov.uk and it automatically takes you to the correct pages.
Whole myriad of facts and everything in terms of guidance. So you don't
that's
use
correct.
The phrase anymore, tax shouldn't be taxing, but
tax shouldn't be taxing.
Something like it was, wasn't it? About 10 years ago, it was a big sort of ploy.
I think now it's find your inner peace by doing your tax return early.
That's right. So cross-legged
that's
on a
right.
mat and a little bit of karma in one's
yes.
life. John, lovely to see you. We'll probably be seeing you probably when the new tax year rolls in or even earlier, because I know probably a nice area we would probably like to talk to you about with that. Listeners lending an ear as well would be the way you've changed rules on savings. The fact that now you will be declaring gross savings rather than
net savings. Because the banks do not deduct any tax from any interest that you have at the moment.
So the latest little statements of the money that you might have accrued in your savings, i.e. your annual sort of savings account letters that are coming in, you'll notice now that you only get a gross figure
that's
of
correct.
Interest.
That's correct.
We'll talk about that. Maybe
okay,
with you.
Another time.
Next time around.
Okay, thank you for having me.
John Belling, thank you very much for
thank
coming
you.
In from
bye
the
bye.
HMRC Eastbrook office. Bye-bye, John. Thank you.